And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the word from South Highland.
In the church where I grew up, what we call here Wednesday Night Live, we called there Family Night Supper. And Family Night Supper was every Wednesday, heavy on fried chicken and baked beans. It was the gathering, though, of the family, sort of the close family, the inner circle of folks who were the most active in the church. Tonight, Maundy Thursday, is our supreme Family Night Supper. Jesus is gathered on Passover night with his inner circle of the 12. You here tonight are not all of those who will be here on Sunday. You are the family who are most engaged and have come not even on a Wednesday night, but a Thursday night for this most supreme Family Night Supper. This supreme night of love, where the Passover is made new. The word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum novum, a new commandment. On this night, Jesus took the ancient Seder Passover supper and makes it new, grounded in his blood and his body. Breaking the loaf of bread, Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Pouring a cup of wine, Jesus says, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." At a point in the meal, Jesus rises from the table, takes off his outer garment and wraps a towel about him, and goes to each of the disciples. Kneeling before them with a bowl of water, he washes the disciples' feet. This night, Jesus tells them his new commandment. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." This night and tomorrow, Jesus shows us the depth of his love, which he will enact fully on the cross. With the verse we read from one of Jesus' last sayings from the cross, we look ahead to Friday. As we've been moving through these seven last words from the cross on the Wednesdays of Lent, tonight we come to what traditionally is set as the next to last word. It is finished. To gather all these seven words, you have to move across all the Gospels and piece them together chronologically best as you can. And traditionally, this has been the next to last word. However, if you only look at the account in John's Gospel, this is the last word. In John's Gospel, after which he spoke this word, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The words and the actions which this night foretells will be fully enacted tomorrow, on Friday. Death on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. That's where all this is headed. So what exactly is finished? Well, tomorrow, Jesus' earthly life certainly is finished, over and done. But more, Jesus' work on the cross for us is finished, done, complete. As the book of Hebrews says, when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that had come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not in this of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal salvation. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Many of you were here Wednesday a month or two ago when we had the honor of welcoming Dr. Ivan Rusin, the president of the Evangelical Ukrainian Seminary in Kyiv, Ukraine. And we remember his telling us of going deep into a forest and celebrating the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, with Ukrainian soldiers the night before they would go into yet another battle against the Russian invaders. And Dr. Rusin said, as I served communion to them, I knew that for some of them, this was their very first communion ever. And I knew also that for some of them, it would be their last. All the disciples really know about this evening is that Jesus wanted to celebrate Passover with them. They're told to go and make arrangements, and they find everything has already been prearranged. Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And they do as he says. They find the room ready, and there they prepare the meal. And then comes Jesus' confrontation with his betrayer. "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they're all horrified. "Surely not I, Lord." And he says, "The one who dips his hand in the bowl is my betrayer." It's Judas who does this. The misguided treasurer. Judas, who has already begun the process of betrayal, taken the blood money and feigns innocence. "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus simply says, "You've said so." It is Judas who will shortly that night betray his master with a kiss. Poor Judas, never quite grasping who Jesus is or what he was about. And we don't know, was Judas just the treasurer? Was he just greedy for money? Or was Judas expecting Jesus to do something more on Palm Sunday, some sort of political revolution, become the Messiah the Jewish people expected to liberate them from their oppressors? And when that didn't happen, did Judas then decide to concoct a way to be rid of Jesus? We don't know his underlying motives. All we know is his betrayal was terrible, yet his betrayal had to happen. It could not be denied. It's part of God's will for what unfolds. It's part of the script, but also this is part of the script. "Woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one never to have been born." We shudder at what Judas did. He's forever since, throughout history, been known as the betrayer. I don't know of any parents who ever named their child Judas. And yet there's some Judas in every one of us, isn't there? We all betray, we all deny, we all abandon Jesus in large and small ways, again and again. As the hymn we're going to sing tonight asks, "Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon you?" And answers, "It is my treason, Lord, that hath undone you. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I, it was denied you. I crucified you." While they're eating, Jesus takes a loaf of the Passover bread, unleavened, reminding them of how they had hurriedly departed from Egypt. And now he gives it new meaning, breaking it, blessing it, giving it to them. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And eating with him, we participate in his new covenant. Our deepest nourishment comes not in the physical bread, but the spiritual bread. As he said in John's gospel, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And then he takes the Passover cup, again gives thanks, and gives it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Here in the bread broken is Jesus' body. In the wine poured is Jesus' blood given for us. Jesus gives these 12 and all of us who would be his disciples this remembrance of his once for all time sacrifice. This experience of his real presence with us at this table every time we share this meal. And this hope for the day of days when we enter into the final bridal feast of the Lamb at the completion of all things. As the angel in Revelation says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So tomorrow, Jesus will cry, it is finished. Finished, complete, the saving work for all time and eternity. Tomorrow, God dies and goes to hell. As we'll sing on Sunday morning, opening our resurrection service, but the pains which he endured, our salvation have procured. Death, suffering, hell, he descended into hell. All this he did for us and for our salvation. There's a shocking painting at the Birmingham Art Museum that I have pondered over many times. I went by to see it again a few weeks ago, thinking about this evening with you all. It's a painting called The Barricade. It was painted by George Wesley Bellows, an artist in New York City in 1918, after he became profoundly disturbed over the heinous war crimes committed in World War I. He portrays an atrocity in that war where German soldiers used defenseless Belgian townspeople as human shields for the soldiers to hide behind, the barricade. And he paints them as helpless, defenseless, naked people, their hands uplifted and couching behind this human wall of flesh, German soldiers, helmets on and their bayonets and their rifles protruding through the limbs of this human shield. And that's what the Romans under Pilate, the Jews under Herod, and the priests of the temple did to Jesus. On Friday, Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, the one who is before all things, who holds all things together, hangs naked on a tree, a human shield, a human sacrifice through whom we are given God's forgiveness for our sins. On the cross, through his death, Jesus puts us and all things to rights. So tonight at family night supper, Jesus offers us these gifts: bread that is his body, wine that is his blood. Won't you reach out and receive them? Tonight you are invited. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.